4:14 and 15. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for your anointing. Thank you for your sweet, sweet presence, Lord. And let us receive what you have for us. Thank you, Father God, that you're doing amazing things in this day. You're doing amazing things in our hearts and in this service and in our homes, Lord. Your will be done. Encourage us, guide, and lead us. In Jesus' wonderful, precious, amazing name we pray. And everybody in the church said, amen. Amen. So, For several weeks now, we've been talking about these two guys, Joshua and Caleb. These guys loved the Lord, they trusted in the Lord, and they obeyed the Lord. They trusted in the Lord, they obeyed the Lord. When it wasn't popular, they trusted in God. When it wasn't popular, they obeyed the Lord, and God blessed them. So I got to do a little bit of a recap so we can go into our text for today, but let's go way back to Egypt. The Israelite people were in slavery. They were in bondage for like 400 years. God raises up his servant Moses. Moses leads them out of Egypt. And for 40 years, they wander in the wilderness. But it didn't start off that way. It didn't take them no time at all for the Israelite people, under the leadership of Moses, to get to the border of the promised land. It didn't take them long at all to get there. It didn't take them 40 years at first. But as they got there, Moses sends out 12 spies, one spy for every single one of the tribes of Israel. Out of those 12 spies, two of them was this guy, Joshua and Caleb. These 12 spies come back, 10 of them have a horrible report. There's giants in that land. We can't take that land. We need to just turn around and try and make friends with the Egyptians again. We are doomed if we go and cross the Jordan River. Those guys are bad news. But then Joshua and Caleb stood up and said, no, you guys got it all wrong. We serve a mighty God. Look what he did at the Red Sea with the Egyptian army. Look what he did with the plagues in Egypt. Look at the pillar of fire. Look at the manna, okay? God's got this. Not only all these things that he does for us, but he promised us this land, okay? If he promised us, let's go take it. But the people grumbled and complained and were fearful. So for 40 years, they had to wander around in the wilderness until that generation died off to where it was their children. And Joshua and Caleb were able to go and take possession of that land, of the promised land. So there's been tons of warfare. Joshua became the leader of the Israelite people. And now with our story today, or where we're going to be focusing on today, this is at the end of Joshua's leadership. This is his, we're gonna jump in the middle of his farewell speech, basically. His time is short on the earth. The Israelites have occupied the land. Much of the warfare has been taken care of. Much of the land has been subdued. And Joshua is giving this farewell charge to the Israelite people. And that's what we're gonna talk about today. And obviously, it ain't just for the Israelite people, guys. This is for me and you. Can I get a witness? All right, thank you, Jesus. Joshua 24, verse 14. Now, therefore, this is what he's saying. It's Joshua talking. He gathers all the Israelites together. He gets the leaders up. He gets the judges up. And he says, okay, guys, let me leave you with this right here, okay? Therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. Now, at the very top of the verse, you see where it says, now, therefore. Okay, so he's referencing the first 14 verses before this in Joshua 24. And what he was talking about before we get to this verse right here, he was listing how God had been so good to them. He went ahead and just kind of reminded them, hey, we were in Egypt. We were slaves with a mighty hand. God delivered us. Our enemies that were pursuing us were drowned in the Red Sea. As we faced obstacle after obstacle, God was there. God gave us victory after victory. He has provided for us. And now we are in this amazing land that we can only dream about. We are in this amazing land. eating fruit from vineyards and trees that we didn't plant, you know, living in cities and houses that we didn't build. You know, God has been so good to us. That's what he's talking about. And then he says, therefore, with that in mind, how good God has been to you and the fact that you really didn't deserve it, but God handpicked you. He picked you out. Not anything special about you. He just loves you. He loves us. He loves us for, I don't know why, you know, but he loves us. What I mean why I don't know why is he knows our deepest thoughts. He knows the things that we've done. He knows our past. And he says, you know what? I love you. I want to wash all that away, man. I want you to come be with me forever and ever and ever. I want you to spend eternal life with me for all eternity. That's what eternal life means. But it's not even all about the eternal life, but he's like, I want you to get to know me, and that's going to take a big, really long time. I want you to enjoy me for all eternity. So God has been good to the Israelite people. God has been good to us. And now Joshua gives them this right here. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity. So often when we hear that fear of the Lord, we misunderstand that. We're like, well, why should I fear God? I don't understand. Why would God, so majestic and so mighty and so amazing and so loving, why would he want me to have fear for him? Our fear of him. So let's go the easy route and let's say reverence and awe. Reverence and awe. Respect, certainly. Certainly there's respect in there, but we're talking way more than respect for our God. We're talking about reverence. He says, have reverence for me. It's like this. When I was young and growing up, in a, you know, there were certain things that I knew I couldn't do, or there was going to be correction brought into my life by my parents. You know, there was things that if I crossed this line, even though my mother and my father loved me with an undying, faithful love, if I crossed a certain line, if I did something I should not do, they were going to bring correction into my life. And that was something that I need to have reverence for. The fact that if I crossed this line, there was going to be some consequences. There was going to be some correction. And that's what God does to his children. So fear of the Lord, that is something that the ungodly or the unsaved, let's say that the unsaved should certainly have about eternal damnation. They need to have that reverence and respect for the Lord and fall on their knees and accept him as their Lord and Savior. And thank God by his grace we have done that. Can I get a witness? And so for the believer, for the Christian, it's that reverence for him, that reverence of who he is and the fact that he absolutely, positively hates sin. He hates sin so much, but he loves us so much. And he says, you keep some reverence for me. You have some respect for who I am. And I mean deep respect. Can I get a witness? So Joshua is laying it out. Okay, guys, listen, you want to keep this plush deal you got going on right here? You want to keep all this beautiful land? You want your children to be able to live in this land as well? You got to serve God, man. You got to be devoted to God, and you got to have that reverence for who he is. Never forget that he's God, and he's a mighty God, and he hates sin, man, but he loves you, and he will bring correction into your life. Hebrews 12, and Lord, don't you know it, man. Raise your hand if, no, never mind. Hebrews 12 and verse 28, talking about that reverence or that fear of the Lord. So the author of Hebrews says this, therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Aren't you glad that you're part of a kingdom that cannot be shaken? Aren't you glad that you belong to a kingdom that cannot be overthrown, that will not change out leadership in 4 years, that this is something that will last for all eternity, and we are part of that kingdom. Heck, we are that kingdom. Can I get a witness? Give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Jesus. What do you mean we are that? What do you mean, Paul? He dwells inside us, man. The Holy Spirit dwells inside us. The creator of the universe dwells inside of us. Wow, that's just crazy. I don't get that. That's mind-blowing. Yeah, I know. That's amazing, man, that he saved my soul and his Holy Spirit dwells inside me. And we are all part of this kingdom that will last for eternity. Therefore, we should be thankful. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus, let us offer to God acceptable worship. What does acceptable worship look like? With reverence and awe. with reverence and awe. God wants us to have reverence for him. And Joshua knows this, and he loves this people. And he's saying, look, I'm not going to be around much longer. And this is like his farewell thing to the people. You guys, you got to keep that reverence. You got to keep that respect for the Most High God, okay? Okay, and then he says, fear the Lord with reverence. And he says, serve him in sincerity. Joshua says, we got to serve the Lord in sincerity. So automatically, I think about the woman at the well, or we think about the Samaritan woman at the well who Jesus is talking to. Anytime I hear sincerity, I'm reminded of this conversation that Jesus had with the Samaritan woman at the well, where they get in this discussion. And the Samaritan woman is saying, well, you Jews, you say we got to go worship in Jerusalem at the temple, and us Samaritans, we worship on this mountain. And they're in this conversation, and Jesus goes, just cuts her off right at the, you know, just says, okay, this is what worship is right here. And with love, Jesus loves this lady. But he says, but the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers, and don't you want to be a true worshiper? I do. Seriously. When the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. Spirit and truth. Inward sincerity. Something coming from our inward being. Something coming from our heart. Not fake. Not going through the motions. And I cannot even begin to tell you how many times I have went through the motions before I've got up here and preached, because my mind is a million ways from what I'm supposed to be thinking about. You know, I'm just being honest with you. You know, instead of focusing on God and his goodness and his majesty, I'll be thinking about, you know, some ridiculous thing or this or that, you know. And so Joshua says, hey, looky here, man. You need to have some reverence for God and have some sincerity. You need to be sincere. Don't just go through the motions, but be sincere and committed to him in worship. Joshua's just laying it out, man. Okay, sincerity, John 4:23, I just read that. Okay, and he says, in faithfulness. So here's the deal. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Okay, so that's pretty cut and dry, man. Faithfulness, he's like, don't be cheating on the Most High God. Be faithful. Okay, Deuteronomy 5:6. I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord your God. This is him talking to the Israelite folks, man, way back in Deuteronomy. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Don't think for a second you did it by yourself. Matter of fact, look back. You know, you didn't have anything to do with that. That was me. When all those plagues were going on in Egypt, you were in the land of Goshen. You were having a hard run of it. You were having a hard time. Those Egyptians were treating you horrible. But I destroyed systematically destroyed each and every one of their gods, showing them there's only one true God, and that is the God of Israel. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. That was me. Out of the house of bondage. So we can't read this verse right here and not think about ourselves. Yes, he did that for the Israelite people. He took them out of slavery. He took them out of bondage. But he also did that for Brother Skip. He also did that for me. He also did that for us as Christian people. He took us out of the world. He handpicked us. I don't know why, but he did, you know. He handpicked us and said, you're coming with me. He picked us out. He forgave us of all of our sins. He took us out of the world. So before that happened, we were dead men walking. Before that happened, we were on our way to eternal damnation. That's how that thing works. You know what I mean? We have condemned ourselves by living in sin. We've all broken his law. We know how that works. But God saved our soul. So this should mean something to us as well. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Now look at verse 7. You shall have no other gods before me. That's how God looks at it. It's like, and Joshua's saying, look, man, you guys have got to be sincere. You got to be truthful. And I mean, no just going through the motions here. God's going to know. God looks at your heart. And I want you to keep this land. He says, you guys, we got to be faithful to God. We got to be faithful, because there's so much temptation around these people. In the promised land, it's like you've got to be faithful to the one true God. Don't look at these other gods and let them be tempting to you, okay? So anyways, moving forward, tell the truth, shame the devil. I'm going to enjoy some of this delicious spring water. It's bottled in Bruton. Yeah, I don't think it really is, but wouldn't that be something if it was? What's wrong with him? Joshua 24 and 14. Now therefore, have reverence. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. In other words, Joshua's breaking it down like this. I'm not going to be around here much longer, okay? So guys, you got to get a hold of this. God, the one true God, the creator of heaven and earth, cannot be one of many gods in your life. That's not going to work for him. He says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. You cannot do this. You've got to serve him wholeheartedly. Look at Matthew 15 and verse 8 right here. And this is actually what Jesus says when he's talking to the Pharisees. And we all know the Pharisees were like the arch enemies of Jesus. They were always coming against him. Not all of them, but a huge group of them didn't like Jesus. Jesus was messing up their program. Jesus was preaching things that was bringing real results, man. And it was messing with their power. So anyways, Matthew 15 and verse 8. This people, says Jesus talking to the Pharisees, this people honors me with their lips, but their hearts is far from me. Man, that just like rips right to the heart of the matter, don't it? You know, Jesus is saying, man, okay, you're walking, you look cool, you look good, and the Pharisees certainly did. You know, they were smooth dudes, man. They looked cool, they looked awesome. But he's saying, man, you're even saying the right things, but your hearts, remember, God sees the hearts. God sees our hearts, you know? He's like saying, your hearts are like light years away from where they're supposed to be. You're fooling everybody else, but you're not fooling me. And so we got to take that to heart, you know, as well. We got to make sure, we got to destroy the idols in our life. We got to make sure that God is the one true God in our life. Can I get a witness? He is the one true God. And his son is Jesus Christ, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, that is the God that we serve. But there is no other name under heaven given by which men can be saved. Can I get a witness? There's no other God but Jehovah, and that's our God. Amen. And he doesn't want to be one of many gods. He doesn't want to be. Anyways, this people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. God is looking for a people that are committed to him. God, and so, you know, I'm not preaching just to you guys. I'm not teaching just to you guys or whatever. This is for me as well. You know, and seriously, God is saying, I want my people to be committed to me. And I think that God really wants to do some amazing things in this hour. And he's looking for people that are serious. You know, people that really, 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 really are serious. And so we need to grab a hold of this message that Joshua has given the Israelite people. You know, choose this day who you're going to serve. If you're not saved, today is the day of salvation. You need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today. Do not put that off another day. I can't begin to tell you. Well, I could. I could break it down for you. I'm sure I could put some pen to paper and figure it out. But I do a lot of funerals, man, and I seem to be doing a lot more. Matter of fact, nobody in here is allowed to die. Not for a good while. Not until you put your money in the offering plate, at least not play. Jesus, forgive me. I'm playing, but guys, please take your vitamins, go for a walk, whatever you got to do. Just stay with me for a little while here. Lord Jesus knows I need a break. Tell the truth, shame the devil, right? So anyways, how are you guys doing? What's going on today? We're talking about being committed to God, aren't we? And that's what God wants us to be committed. And we can look back on our lives and say, man, I was in Egypt. I was way into the world. I was a mess. I was a hot mess. That's what Rachel Jean says. She said, a hot mess. She never says that. But I was a mess, man. And he saved my soul. He took me out of bondage. And I've been set free. And so just like Joshua telling the Israelites, therefore, because he's been so good to you, All right? Have some reverence, some respect for your Creator. Have some reverence, respect, some sincerity for your Savior, and be faithful to Him and serve Him alone. Matthew 15:8, this people honors me with their lips. Let that never be said about us, you know? I know that I could say that about myself. I know that I can. I know that I can in times past. I know, well, I've said the right things, you know, but my heart was like way over here. Maybe it was the cares of the world. Maybe it was this, maybe it was that. Maybe I don't know. But I don't want to live like that no more. That's not going to do. This people honor me with their lips, but their hearts is far from me. Let's go to the next slide. Joshua's just laying it out for these guys. He loves them. He wants them to live in this land. Joshua 24:15. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. Joshua, I believe, is using sarcasm here, but he's saying, he's like drawing the people's attention to how foolish it would be to be idol worshipers, to be caught up in idolatry and worshiping these false gods, the false gods of Egypt that the one true God, Jehovah, had already stomped all over. You want to go worship those guys? Seriously? Are you serious? You want to worship the gods of the Amorites, all the land that you now dwell in? You want to worship those guys' gods? The guys whose our God just stomped their fannies downtown to Chinatown? You know what I mean? You want to serve those fake gods that our God just smashed? Look at your neighbor and say, our God just smashed them. Amen. Amen. Whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river are the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell? Joshua's saying, pick a side. And not just Joshua, but the Most High God is saying to us, pick a side. You know, pick a side. Look at Revelation. Yeah, it's right here. Revelation 3:15-16, we got Jesus. All God's people said, Jesus. We got Jesus talking to the church in Laodicea. Now listen to this. I know your works. Let that sink in just a little bit, man. I know your works. I know all about you. I know what you think about. I know what you did last summer. I got it all. I know it. See, God knows us deeply, man. There's no fooling Him. We might be able to fool Mama and Papa a little bit. We might be able to fool the nice lady at the gas station, but we're not fooling Him. Can I get a witness? He says, I know your works. And He's saying it out of love. I know your works. You are neither, this is hardcore right here, okay? You are neither cold nor hot. See, God is telling us, pick a side, man. Just like Joshua was telling the Israelites, okay, the choice is pretty clear, but you do have a choice. You do have a choice. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. Okay, I wish you either belonged to me or didn't belong to me, but this straddling the fence business is making me nauseous. This, you got to pick a side, man. But this, being this one day and this the other, it's making me sick. This is God talking, all right? This is Jesus Christ talking. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. You ain't fooling me. Would that you are either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. See, sometimes, man, seriously, let it sink in that, you know, God loves us and He is faithful. I mean, He is faithful, faithful, faithful. But sometimes, as His children, man, you know, we can make Him sick. You know, think about that. You know, because of our fickleness. Oh, God, You've been good to me. Oh, You are the most amazing thing in the world. Oh, my goodness gracious, I love You, I love You, I love You. Oh, my gosh, I got a flat tire. And look how much the gas prices are. God, You hate me. You hate me. And that's silly, but, you know, we get like that sometimes. God says, don't be wishy-washy, man. commit yourself to me. I'm the God in the valley. I'm the God in the mountaintop. I'm the God that put you on this earth, and I'm the God that saved your soul. I've been good to you. Can I get a witness? Look at 1 Kings 18:21. It's one of my favorite all-time stories. I'm not going to tell you the story. You already know it. We've preached on it before. But this is Elijah at the contest at Mount Carmel, where there's all these prophets of Baal. During this time in Israel, we're talking about Joshua right now, okay? This is them entering the promised land, setting themselves up in the promised land. So this thing with Elijah, we're jumping way forward. But see, the sentiment is what we want to grab a hold of. Okay, Elijah, the prophet of God, was facing off 400 prophets of Baal. And this was a huge contest. And Elijah said, you know, this is the day right here where we're gonna set this thing right. Okay, either you guys, he's talking to Israel, either you can serve Baal, you can serve this demon false god. You can serve this guy if you want to, fake god. He hasn't done anything for you. He hates your guts. You can serve him or you can serve Jehovah. You can serve the one true God. And this is an amazing thing where God shows him real. God shows his power and might over Baal. And it's just an amazing thing. But this is what Elijah says to the people. And this is what I want us to grab a hold of and let it sink into our hearts. 1 Kings 18:21. And Elijah came near to all the people. There was a huge mass of people to watch this contest. And Elijah came near to all the people and said, how long? How long will you go limping between two different opinions? I like that limping part. It just shows the foolishness and just the weakness and just the craziness of going from one God to another. You know, you say, man, I don't do that, Paul. I go to church. I belong to Jesus Christ. I don't serve many gods. Okay, well, see, here's the deal. John 14, verse 15 says, if you love me, you'll do the things I command. So we should be bearing some fruit if we serve the Lord. But 1 John 5, verse 21 says, dear children, keep yourselves from idols. Okay, nowadays we can have idols in our life just like they did back then. I'm not talking about praying to Buddha. I'm not talking about praying to Ganesh. Those are things, and people do those. I have known some people that have their Jesus statue, and then they have their statues of other religions, and they kind of think they all got it all clumped in together. Well, that's not going to work. That's one of the things we're kind of talking about. But that's actually a lot of what we're talking about. But for us, I've been to all your houses. You ain't got nothing like that going on. Maybe you hide them when I get over there. No, I'm playing. I'm playing. Y'all wouldn't do that. But we can have idols in our life, things that we put above our relationship with God. Heck, fear can be an idol, man. You know, our relationships can be an idol. These things that we put above our relationship with God, he doesn't like that. He wants to be number one. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Can I get a witness? And Elijah came near to all the people and said, how long will you go limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. Is the Lord God? Yes, he is. You know it is in your heart. But we get pulled away by these, you know, these things that shine, that glimmer. I got to have this. I got to have that. No, you don't. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. We need to put God first, and he'll take care of us. How long will you go limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And then the people did not answer him a word. Well, they were about to when they saw the amazing God that we serve do amazing things. And I'm not going to get in that story, but you should read 1 Kings 18 if you don't already know it. Joshua 24 and verse 15. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river are the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as this is good right here. This is gold. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua is saying, hey, you guys got a choice. You guys got a choice. You can serve the fake gods that your ancestors served. The Abrahamic people, they were pulled out of idol worship. And they had all those false gods in Egypt. You can serve them if you want to. You can serve the gods of the Amorites, whose lands you now dwell, or you can serve the one true God. And he says, I'm gonna go ahead and tell you what I'm gonna be doing. Because remember, Joshua and Caleb, these were these two amazing folks. These were these two folks that said, I'm gonna serve God, I'm gonna obey God, I'm gonna do what God has called me to do, whether it's popular or not. And God has blessed them and blessed them. And Joshua is saying, at this age, just like before, I'm not changing a thing. I am gonna serve God. I'm gonna serve the one true God. He says, as for me and my house, those people that live under my roof, they're gonna go to church, they're gonna have Bible study, they're gonna serve the Lord. Can I get a witness? But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So jump with me to Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. It's on your bulletin, it's on the monitor. So what we've been reading today is Joshua's farewell speech, pretty much. And Joshua, it's interesting, I find it very interesting, that for the rest of his life, in that generation, they did. They're about to say that, we're serving Jehovah God. Absolutely, we're gonna serve him. He's been too good to us. We're gonna serve him. And they did, faithfully, until Joshua died and that generation died out. And then that group of children that had the easy life, so to speak, you know, that ground, the vineyard was already there, the house was already there that they were born into, their way of life was already there. They didn't witness the manna falling from the sky. They didn't witness the parting or the drying up of the Jordan River or the warfare against the nations around there. But as that one generation died out, their children began to get back into idol worship. And you just see it. It just goes downhill, man, from here. You see them getting into idol worship, God bringing them, God allowing them to go into some sort of captivity because of their idolatry, because they wouldn't listen to his warnings. Then they go into captivity, then they repent, and God brings a deliverer. You see that over and over and over again, you know? But as far as Joshua's life, they did. But see, we have a tendency to forget the amazing things that God did in our life in the past. We tend to forget how faithful he was to us. You know, just because we've had some hard times here and there along the way, we think, well, God wasn't faithful to me. God has given up on me. Where in the world where in the word of God does he say that he's doing that? He's the God, like I said, he's the God of mountaintop and the valley. You know, he wants us to be wholeheartedly committed to him no matter what's going on in our life. Anyways, let me read Deuteronomy 30, 19. This is actually part of Moses' farewell address. This is, remember, Moses passes away and Joshua takes over for him. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. This is pretty cool. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death. This is a choice that every single human being has. All of us, we have that choice, life and death. We got free will. Salvation or eternal damnation. Set before you life and death, blessing and a curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live. So I find this pretty cool. This is pretty awesome. That the answer to the dilemma, the answer to the question, or Moses is saying, here's the answer, dude. Choose life. Choose life. Don't choose death. You don't want to do that. Choose life. I had a math teacher, and I guess he knew I was a unique individual. I don't know why he really did it. But so I had a math teacher in high school, I think it was in ninth grade, that I guess he saw I wasn't actually being very productive in my arithmetic. And so one day he gives me a different book than everybody else's book. He says, this is the teacher's edition. Said, no, Paul, the answer's in the back of the book. This dude really gave me the book with the answers in it. I guess he was no mathematician himself, but whatever. He was like, okay, you're in a football team, and I remember, okay. The answers are in the back of the book. I did pretty good in that class, man. I did all right, you know. But I was in a rude awakening when they put me in pre-algebra next year. Anywho, this funny, amazing teacher, Lord bless you wherever you are, Coach, gave me the answers to all the questions, man. And see, God, through Moses, is saying, hey, you got a choice here in life. You got this road. It looks pretty fancy and nice, but that leads to death. The big curses down that road, a lot of holes in that road. Or you can choose life and prosper. And Jesus comes to give us life. He wants us to have that abundant life. Thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You know? And then he says, here's, turn to the back of the book. I want you to choose life. That's the answer. Choose life. And so the Israelites choose life, and they serve the Lord throughout the rest of Joshua's life and the elders' life. But now, you know, it's down to us. It's down to the nitty and the gritty. What are we going to do? You know, because it's getting down to the wire. It's getting down to serious time here. You know, and God's looking for devoted people. He's calling me to be devoted and sold out. He's calling you guys to be devoted and sold out. So what we want to do is we want to pray and we want to mean it. You know, that God, I want all you have for me. I want to be faithful to you. We want to recommit ourselves if we strayed a little bit. And if you're like me, you have, you know. I'm not saying that we're not Christians. I'm not saying that we don't love the Lord. But we can be distracted by all kinds of stuff. And God's saying, you know, I want a people that serve me wholeheartedly, that are committed to me. So we want to pray about that. And also, hold on 1 second. Anybody else want to sip? Come on, we're family. No way, dude. We want to pray about that. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, man, you got to do that. You absolutely got to do that. Tomorrow is not promised to anyone. And if you lived more than 6 years on this earth, you figured that out already. People we know, just like that, jump into eternity all the time. So let's pray right now. If you want to recommit your life to Jesus, say this prayer after me. And then if you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, say this prayer after me. Dear Lord, I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I repent for being involved in idolatry and being unfaithful to you and not being fully committed to my Lord and Savior. I recommit my life to you wholeheartedly, and I will serve you all the days of my life. If you're not saved, if you haven't accepted Christ, you need to say this one with me. Father God, I know that I am a sinner. I have broken your law. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins and be my Lord and Savior. I know that Jesus died on that cross for my sins and rose from the dead, defeating death. I ask you to come into my heart today, Jesus, and I will serve you for all the days of my life. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. Amen. So, you know, if you're like me, God has been shaking me and saying, hey, you know what? I'm looking for a bunch of folks that are committed to me. And I want to do some amazing things in your life, in your church, in your community, in your nation. But I need some people that are sold out to me. So we want to be sold out to God. And we want to work on that. Remember, resist the devil and he will flee. If you just accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, welcome to the family. Thank you, Jesus. If you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're now a blood-bought Christian. You're washed in the blood of the Lamb. And you say, well, I didn't feel nothing special. I didn't feel nothing tingly. Well, if you said those words, you prayed those words, and you meant it, you're in the family. So now you need to start reading that good book and start spending some time with the good Lord, get involved in a church. We'd like for you to be here. God bless you guys.